advertisement of some of the things that are on the horizon. Laws against sex changes for minors surge in conservative states. But let me tell you something. Washington State just passed the law, waiting for the governor to sign it, where a child, a young child, can be talked to by someone in the school without allowing the parents to have any part in the discussion. Do you catch that? Oregon will be next, based upon some of the things we're seeing happening. There are basically, I would say, 27 states now that either have voted to stop sex changes or are in the process of voting. There's another thing. I just want to share some of these things so you can get acclimated to the times in which we are living. AI intelligence, artificial intelligence. How many of you have heard about artificial intelligence? Listen to this. AI will soon get better at getting its facts straight. Taken to a personal level, a 2019 report in Scientific American titled "The Internet Knows You Better Than Your Own Wife or Husband Does" analyzed a program called Apply Magic Sauce. This program asks subjects a few inputs, like something they have written, such as emails or blogs, along with information. And listen to this. Based on these inputs, Apply Magic Sauce could generate its detailed psychogram or personality profile that includes your presumed age and sex, whether you are anxious or stressed, how quickly or easily you are stressed. Are you given to impulses? And the report found that by analyzing the people's likes on social media, the program could paint and accurately portray their personalities. The problem is, the writer of this artificial intelligence said, "I don't want it out there. We're not sure what it will do when it's out there." My brothers and sisters, are you aware that we are close to the coming of our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ? I'm going to share a truth that God gave me this last 2 weeks. I had never seen it before. Maybe you have. If you have, praise God. Because remember this, all that is new is not true. And that all that is true is not new. Is that right? And I've got a statement I want you to write down somewhere in your notes while I preach this message or before. I wrote it down. I just came back from having evangelistic meetings in Vermont. I want you to write this down. It's a very important principle to remember in our lives. Very, very important. How important? Very important. When your attention is distracted, your understanding is distorted. And when your understanding is distorted, your vision is disrupted. I'll say it again. When your attention is distracted, your understanding is distorted, and your vision is disrupted. We look at something, and then we think of something else, and our vision is disrupted. We have no time for other things other than Jesus. What are we reading? What are we watching? My message, though, is positive today, and it's entitled, "You Can Face the Future." You can face the future. I'm going home. How about you? What do you say? Amen. We're going home. We're going home. I'm going to give you five basic principles on this based upon the scripture we just read. I'll read it to you again. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and its kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, Paul said to Timothy, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all your duties, all the duties of your ministry. For I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time will come for my departure. But I've fought the fight, I've fought a good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith, and therefore there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me, and not for me only, but all those who love his appearing. Amen? All those who love his appearing. What a beautiful thought. Paul says, I've competed well. In the great contest of life, I've agonized like an athlete. I've kept the rules of the game. I have run the life of faith. What about you? Give a few moments to look at your own life. Here are some highlights I want you to remember. The coming of the Lord will reveal the results of judgment. Namely, number two, at the appearing of Jesus, he will reward those who remain faithful to him. When Jesus comes in the clouds of heaven, it's too late to change your mind. Before he comes, it's too late to change your mind, unless now is the time of salvation. You agree with that, dear saints? Now is the time of salvation. The time will come, number three, when some will not endure sound doctrine. They will not want to hear the truth. There are some in the church today who will tell you, I don't want to hear this anymore. I know, yeah, we're at the end of the world, but I don't want to hear this anymore. I'm young. I'd like to be able to have a little spice in my life. Or I've got enough problems to think about without worrying about what's going to happen in the future. You and I are going to face things, my dear saints, that are unbelievable. Do you believe that? Do you know that? You're going to face that. The time will come when they do not endure sound doctrine, but they do not want to hear the truth. Turn your Bible to Matthew 24. I want to read you something. You all know. You know the text, my dear saints. Matthew 24 and verse 24. And I'm going to give you something to think about now. Matthew 24 and verse 34. Matthew 24 and verse 24. You have it there? Hold your Bible up real high. Okay. By the way, is this the word of God? I want you to tell God the Father, I believe in your word. Your word will not return to me void. It will accomplish for you, Father God, what you desire of your children. Say amen to that. I want to serve you, God, with my whole heart. I love your word. Oh, how I love thy precepts. Matthew 24:24. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. You got that? How many times have you ever heard that text? I was reading early Tuesday morning 2 weeks ago, and I looked at the word rise. The Holy Spirit impressed me. Look at the word rise in the Greek. And the word is agero. And it means rise from the dead. Not just rise among us, or rise from the dead. That's what it's specifically used for. How do I know? Turn to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 8. Turn back there if you would, please. Matthew 10 verse 8. He will deceive even the very elect. And I'm going to give you something to think about that you're going to have to remember this afternoon, because it's coming. Listen to this. Matthew 10 and verse 8. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers, raise what? That word's there. Raise the dead. Ah, now here it is, where the tire meets the road. Satan says, you want to see the apostles? You want to see the prophets? I'm going to raise them from the dead. Here's Jeremiah. Here's Isaiah. False prophet. How many of you have ever seen that before? One or two of you have. False prophet. Ellen White says that the identity will be overwhelming. Overwhelming. Number four, Paul says there are those who fall away from the truth. This is a fight, number five, a race course we are on, and we have faith. We have a faith to lift up. Number one, how can I stay faithful? First, here it is. Lift up your head and look ahead to the goal. Lift up your head and look ahead to the goal. When I first wrote this message, I said, oh, Lord God, I want to do this. Luke 21, take your Bible. I'm only going to read a few verses here because I'd like to move right through this message. I've learned from my dear wife, who's a saint, to put up with me. She said, cut it short. Luke 21, 25, and there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and in the stars, and on earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. We've always used sea and waves as literally, but the Bible says in Revelation 17 and verse 15, seas represents nation, tongues, and people, and the seas roaring. Is America out of control now? This is why it says that when apostasy fills the land, desolation will fall. Men's hearts failing for fear of those things coming upon the earth, for the powers of earth and the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then you'll see the sign of the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. Lift up your head. I'm going to make it. You're going to make it. Say to yourself, I'm going to make it. Say it. Put your hand right on your heart. I'm going to make it. Boy, you're not saying it. I want to hear you. I'm going to make it. All of Canyonville is going to make it. I'm going to make it. You know, when you say negative things about yourself, you destroy the plan of God. You remember Balaam tried to curse Israel? And every negative thing he wanted to pronounce, God would not allow it. You know why? God does not want his people cursed. He wants them blessed. He turns cursing into blessing. I don't know about you, but I've had times that I've cursed myself. I'm this, I'm that. I didn't do this right. I didn't do that right. You know, why don't you say to God, I'm a child of the King. I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made, and I belong to you, and I'm lifting up my head because I am yours and you are mine. Number two, let's open up our ears to listen to what God says. I'm going to give you a couple of verses to write down. Hebrews chapter 2, 1 through 3, and Daniel 12. 1, 3, and 10, the wise shall shine. Oh my, there are saints among you that you're going to shine like you never dreamed you could shine. The Holy Spirit is going to take so control of you, you're going to think and others are going to say that you're a fanatic and that you're filled with a false spirit. Ellen White says the last events will be simple, very out of the ordinary. We have our Bible, we think we have it all laid out, but it's going to be simple and confounding. I can see it happening, my dear saints. I can. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Let's read Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, quickly. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. Hebrews 3 and verse 1. Oh, what a scripture. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. If someone there likes to hear the sound of your voice, I like to hear the sound of your voice. Read Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Read your Bible if you have it. This sister right here, please. Fix your eyes on who? on Jesus. Remember the statement I just gave to you? What did I say? Somebody help me out. What did I say and told you to write down? Yeah. What did I say? When? Let me give it to you again. Maybe you didn't get this. You got to have this, see? This is so important and so good. You've got to have it. The Lord gave this to me, and I praise his holy name. When your attention is distracted, your understanding is distorted. If you're not looking at Jesus, you're looking somewhere. And your vision is disrupted. Boy, that's so true. Fix your eyes on Jesus. How do you do that? By studying the Bible, the Word of God. I want to encourage you, dear saints, open your Bible when you wake up in the morning. Set on the side of your bed and say, "Oh God, thou art worthy. Oh Father, how much I love you." Sit on the edge of your bed and say, "Father, I belong to you, and I'm going to serve you with all my heart. I'm your child. Surprise me today, God. Surprise me today." Well, he's going to surprise us whether we want it or not, right? Surprise me today, God. Fix your eyes on Jesus. I love that. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Read down here, Paul says to fix our thoughts on Jesus. Oh, that's interesting, isn't it? Fix our thoughts on Jesus. I love that. Fix our thoughts on Jesus. So what you think about determines you. In Psalm 119:37, the Bible says, "Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things." Turn away my eyes from that. I memorized that because I took the key letters, turn away my eyes. Turn away my eyes. Tame. Tame me, Lord. Help me not to look at things I shouldn't be looking at. They're worthless. Only Jesus Christ matters. And I love his church. Amen. Amen. Jehoshaphat prayed to the Lord in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 12. And he says, "Oh, our God, will you not judge them, the enemy? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us." I don't know what's coming against you. Maybe you're sick today. Maybe you have cancer. Maybe you're going to have cancer and you don't know it. It's an enemy. Maybe you're addicted to pornography, or you're addicted to cigarettes, or whatever. It's an enemy you cannot conquer. I'm suggesting to you that you say to God, "This great enemy is coming against us. We do not know what to do. I don't know what to do. But my eyes are on you." 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 12. I love that. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Let us, Hebrews 12, verse 2, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, what a Savior. And the church said what? Amen. What a Savior. Number three, open our ears to listen to what God has to say. When you're sitting by your bed, my dear people, I put my feet on the floor. Sometimes 4 o'clock in the morning. This morning was 4:35. I said, "Oh, Jesus, I belong to you." You can do it at 10 o'clock in the morning. Maybe you're not a morning person. You can do it at midnight. How many of you are midnight people? You're late nighters. Come on, raise your hand. You can do that. Yeah, we have one here. Anybody else? Yeah, a few hands go up. Yeah. How many of you are real early morning people? Let me see your hand. There you are. You get up in the morning, and first thing you do, you talk to Jesus. Well, I'm kind of a combination in the morning and at night. You know why? Because I can't trust myself 1 minute without Jesus. There's so many things that could come in here that are evil. I can't even begin to imagine what I could think or what I could do if Jesus did not control my thoughts. If he did not control your thoughts. Open our ears. Here it is. I wanted to concentrate on this one now. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, if you have it there. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I know you all know this. You've read this text many times. Verse 15. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 15. If you have that verse, would somebody read it for me? Raise your hand. Anyone have that verse you'd like to read? I'd like to. Yes, back here, sister, please. All right. My ears are open, and my eyes will be open, and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. That's God saying, I'm listening to you. The least you can do is listen to me. What do you say? God says, I want to talk to you. You ever talk to God? I mean, really talk to him and lay before him and cry and say, oh, Father God, I am so sorry that I have not lived up to your expectation. Oh, but God, I misunderstand because your expectations of me never change. You always love me. Oh, what a Father. Oh, what a God. I was in Pentecostal church in Lake Havasu City, Arizona. Anyone ever been there? We had to preach. Every pastor was giving 10 to 15 minutes, and we spoke just a brief sermon. It was wonderful. These pastors had wonderful messages, and I was the last one. Pastor Rocky, where are you? And I was sitting toward the back. Come on up, it's your turn. Well, it was already late. It was late. And I said, Father, I'm not going to say anything. It's too late. So I invited everybody down front. Salvation Army was there. The Pentecostal Church was there. Baptists were there. And a few Seventh-day Adventists were there because they knew I'd be there. And invited everybody else. I was the pastor of their church, that's why. And they all came forward. And I asked them to dedicate their lives to Jesus and to be ready for the second coming of Christ. And they said, amen. There was weeping and crying there. Not because of me. I'm just a servant. I'm a voice. And you are a voice. And when it was all done, I was walking out. Everybody said, oh, Pastor, what a sermon. I didn't say anything. You know why? The Holy Spirit spoke to their hearts. Don't you want to get ready for Jesus to come? If you don't have a fire in your belly right now for Christ to come, you have missed this. You're playing church, and if you can't, you don't want to finish the course, and you know you don't want to, you better examine where you are. We all make mistakes, remember that. But listen, our failures do not define us. They do not define us. But fear tolerated equals faith contaminated. Remember that. When you fear tolerated, when your doubts become your belief, then your beliefs are your doubts. Let's move on to number four. It's time to speak up and share what you know. Lift up your heads, fix our eyes on Jesus, listen to what he has to say to us, and speak up. Acts 20, verses 22 to 24, and now, compelled by the Holy Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. Oh, that's coming. Book of Acts will be repeated. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race, complete the task the Lord Jesus has given to me. Given to you the task of testifying to the gospel of God's power. Oh, my. Listen to Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord. Sing praises to his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations. Lift up Jesus. Speak up for him. You're in Marshall's one day or Walmart, and you walk up and you begin to see this man you thought you knew. And you ask who he was, he's still a little foggy about it. He gives you his name or her name. And you begin to think, I think they were part of the church, the Adventist church. So you ask them, are you going to church still? Yes, oh yes. But we're not going to the Seventh-day Adventist church. Now we're going to the Baptist church. And then you say, Why is that? Why the fellowship? You see? I want to follow Jesus with my whole heart. Sometimes, you know why we don't speak up, dear saints? Because we don't know what to say. Am I right? We don't know what to say. And if I say the wrong thing, I'm going to embarrass myself, make a fool out of myself, and then the Lord's going to look down and say, hey, you, I would have told you what to say. Doesn't Jesus somewhere say, or the scripture somewhere say, do not worry about the words that you will give. I will give you the words at the right time. You remember Jeremiah? He said, listen, Lord, I can't speak. I'm not a prophet. Look at my life. And the Lord said, who put your tongue in your mouth? You will speak. If God calls you to speak, you will speak. Number five, and winding down, is it any wonder David could say, sing to the Lord. Number five, step forward. Walk in the light as God has given you. Step forward. Lift up your heads. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Listen up. Say something and step forward and be counted. Step forward and be counted. John writes in 3 John 3 and 4, it gave me great joy to have some brothers come and talk about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. 2 John, verse 4, it has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth just as the Father commanded us. I'm no expert on Jesus coming. I'm no expert on things happening. But I will tell you one thing. I know what's going to happen. I'm not an expert. But I've studied the Bible enough to know. If you want to purchase a book worth purchasing, it's Donald Mansell's book that was published in 1999. It's entitled The Shape of the Coming Crisis. And I'm going to say something right now. I don't regret if I ever come back. That's up to you. But I'm going to tell you right now, we don't have years in the future. We do not have years in the future. No man knows the day or the hour, Matthew 24:36. But Jesus said, when you see these things, things happening, how many of you see these things? Raise your hand. I see these things, and I'm going to be faithful. Say that. I'm going to be faithful. I'm not falling out of this. It was sad when I read this here, right from Sister White's writings. And she makes a statement. When I first read it, I said, I can't believe that. I've got to read it to you if I can find it. You know, I read so much. And this is really good. Seven manuscript. Let me read this instead. Seven manuscript, by the way, page 129. Look it up. She says, doctors and ministers will leave our church first. God showed me that. While the work, here's another, of salvation is closing, trouble will be coming on the earth, nations will be angry, yet held in check so as not to prevent the work of the third angel. Let me tell you something. China is trying to take Taiwan. Russia wants a war. Iran is fueling this by sending their weapons to North Korea. North Korea just launched a solid, what do they call it? Somebody here might know more than me. Solid booster rocket. How many of you saw it this week? Kim Il-sung was looking at it, rising. The first time a solid rocket was launched. We're only minutes to midnight. I can tell you that right now. One morning you will wake up, as Ellen White said in Christ's Object Lessons 4:13, and she says, an overwhelming surprise will come upon you, and you're going to say, I'm undone, Lord Jesus. I'm undone. Don't wait until you can't wait. Don't wait for the writing on the wall until your back is against the wall. You know what happened to Belshazzar? Oh, I have a message on the fall of Babylon. Oh, my brothers, I wish I had more time with you, but I want to wind this down. By the way, watch out for fakes because they're going to come. I want to give you this. It's humorous, so you need a little humor after all this serious preaching. A friend of mine ate dog food one evening. No, he wasn't a fraternity initiation or a hobo party. He was actually an elegant, listen to this, student It was an elegant student reception in the physician's home near Miami. The dog food was served on, get this, delicate little crackers with a wedge of imported cheese, bacon chips, an olive, and a sliver of pimento on top. That's right, friends and neighbors. It was hors d'oeuvre a la Elpo. The hostess in the first is a first-class nut. You got to know her to appreciate the story. She had just graduated from a gourmet cooking school, so she had decided to put her skill to the ultimate test. Did she ever? After doctoring up those miserable morsels and putting them on a couple of silver trays, with a sly grin, she watched them disappear. One man kept coming back again and again and again. He said, I love those. Humorous. What a world. Can the devil counterfeit things that are even humorous? Yes, he can. He can do things that will amaze us at the end of this world. So I want to wind down with this. Walk in the light as he's the light. And I'm going to close with this. In fact, I went ahead, had my wife print this so I could share it with you. And number one, I want to thank you for coming. I want you to take a hand, shake the person beside you, and say, I'm glad I'm here. Would you do that? Shake a hand. I'm glad I'm here today. Amen. Amen. I'm glad I'm here. Put it right there, brother. I'm so glad you're here today. God bless you. You and your dear wife. God bless you. Now, that would have been wrong if she was his sister, right? That would. I am so glad you're here. By the way, I have to tell you, Canyonville is a wonderful church. And Pastor Murray is a wonderful pastor. All right, here we are. Sandra Bullock won the 2010 Best Actress Academy Award for her portrayal of Leigh Ann Toohey in The Blind Side. The sensational film chronicles a Christian family who took in a homeless young black man and gave him the chance to reach his God-given potential. Michael Orr not only dodged the hopelessness of a dysfunctional inner-city upbringing, but became the first-round NFL draft pick for the Baltimore Ravens in 2009. At a recent fundraiser, Sean Toohey noted that the transformation of his family and Michael all started with two words. I'm going to give you a moment to guess those two words. Two words. And if you're here this morning and you haven't responded to God, these two words are applicable. If you're playing church, these two words are very applicable. I want you to listen now. When they spotted Michael walking along the road on a cold November morning in shorts and a t-shirt, Leigh Ann Toohey uttered two words that changed their world. She told her husband, turn around. Say it with me. Turn around. Oh, my. They turned the car around, put Michael in their warm vehicle, and ultimately adopted him in their family. These same two words can change your life. Turn around. Turn around. My eyes are on Jesus. I'm fixing my thoughts on him. I'm listening to him. I'm speaking up for him. But Lord, there's some things in my life that I have not said yes to. I have not surrendered them to you. I need to turn around in my thinking. You can do all these things for you. And you told me to leave my gift at the altar and then come back. The things I've done, I want to leave at the altar today. How many of you would rise with me and come forward as we pray? Every time I come here to do this, you know why? Because when you come forward, you stand up. When you come forward, you listen. When you come forward, you're standing up for Jesus, not for Rocky Gale. I invite you to stand and come with me so I can pray for you. I want to ask the Holy Spirit to bless your life, to help you turn around in your thinking and guide you and lead you in special ways. Please come forward. I told Brother Kelly that last time I didn't know if I'd ever be back again. And I'm here, and I praise God for allowing me to come today. I praise the Lord for allowing me to come. You are a wonderful, wonderful church. And I want press right up here. I want everybody to come if you want to. If you don't want to and you want to stay back, that's entirely up to you. You can stay where you are. But I want those who come right up here so we can hold hands together. You're not going to catch the flu. You're not going to catch COVID, and I sure won't. I'm not going to infect you, okay? All right. Come right up here. Come right to the front. Would you do that? Spread right out here so we can get everybody in. You could spread out here. Okay, is everyone holding hands together? I'm going to ask you something I haven't done when I had this kind of prayer. What would you like to ask God today? Yeah. Amen. All right. Someone else? Help us to turn. That is so good. Anyone else? Reach out to others. What'd you say? A divine appointment. Amen. Beautiful. Anyone else? You're telling the Lord, would you? God already has an appointment for you. He does. Keep you focused. Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. Anyone else back there? Huh?
We are the family of God.
Oh, my brother. Oh, I love you, Roy. You know, 95 years old and you still have it. I see him and I get tears in my eyes because I'm here. Because you invited me to Oregon. Anyone else like to share? What do you... Oh, amen, brother. Not afraid to belong to God. Someone else. Does the truth offend you a little bit? Who are these people with this message? Does that offend you a little? It shouldn't, should it? I'm going to give time for one more person. You'd like to say something this morning. You want God to hear it clearly. If you're there, speak up. I'm going to give you time to do it. Yeah. Oh, you're a sweet woman. God. Oh, sister, God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we're all alike sinners, but we're not sinners alike. We're all different. We see everything differently, Lord. From the depth of our heart and our mind, we tell you right now, we're going to make it. We're going to make it because this is not a hope. It's not a wish. It's a hope, but it's grounded in reality. Within the veil, Paul said, we're going to make it. And we can't wait to shake hands with you, Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, sweet Jesus. Please send your Holy Spirit to us. Anoint us. Change our lives. Help us to be on fire for you, Father God. Oh, what a God thou art. Oh, Father, bless us. You've listened to us. 2 Chronicles 7:15, you heard us. What is said in this place? May it bring glory to heaven. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you for coming today. Thank you. Oh, thank you, my friend. God bless you. God bless you, my boy. Sister.